From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Not everyone is complaining about the sub-zero temperatures that ushered in the new year. The freezing cold has put a solid layer of ice on Maine's lakes and ponds, and that is good news for anyone looking to go ice fishing. Today, we're going to learn all about fishing through a hole in the ice, how it works, where to do it, and why it's such a big part of Maine's culture. Joining me in our Augusta studio, Brittany Humphrey. She is Outreach Coordinator for Maine's Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, working with information and education. Tim Jack is the owner of Jack Traps Ice Fishing Outfitters based in Monmouth. And Vern Keith is the owner of Cobbesee Bait in Winthrop. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you ever tried ice fishing? Do you have a favorite place to go? What do you catch? Do you have a story from childhood you'd be willing to share with us today? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you all for being here today. I want to start by sort of asking each of you your story of how you got involved in ice fishing, when you first went ice fishing. Brittany, do you remember the first time you went ice fishing?
Oh, I sure do. I've been going ever since I was a little kid with my mom and dad and our family. And I used to be a little hesitant or scared about going onto the ice just because of the loud noises it makes, or worried about the ice in general. But I mean, I just love it. I used to go out several times every winter with our family. So I kind of grew up doing it. Not forced to, but I love it.
Jack, what about you?
Well, started very young. My mom and dad, it wasn't just dad, it was mom that went also, and I had four sisters. And it was like a mini vacation every weekend. We go to a different pond, a lake, and always be there before daylight and try to have the best bait and some good food and get home by noon.
Before daylight, you were okay as a kid with being awakened in the dark.
Oh, it was like Christmas every morning. Go on ice fishing when you're a kid, if you like it as much as I did.
Oh, my gosh. And Vern, what about you?
Totally different. I grew up on the ocean, and I never ice fished till I was 38. And I had a broken Rite Aid trap, and I went to Keyser Pond with an axe, and my son showed me how to set my first trap. And as soon as I saw that flag and reel spinning, I was hooked.
Oh, that's funny. Age 38. So it really was life-changing for you.
Now it's
an integral part of your livelihood.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So what is it? That's what I want to find out here. And I'll start with this side of the table, Vern. What is the magic of ice fishing? You know, and if you didn't start until you're 38, you know that people who don't ice fish think, why on earth would someone choose to do that on a very cold day? What's the allure?
Well, it's pretty exciting to walk out onto a pond and look at the pond that's frozen. It looks totally different than in the summertime. And then try to figure out where you're going to drill a hole. And then the success of seeing your flag go off, even if you don't catch anything, is quite exciting.
Okay. And explain to me, Jack, you said it's like Christmas. How is it like Christmas?
Well, if you really like fishing, it doesn't matter if it's ice fishing or with a fishing pole or on the boat or on the ocean.
Okay.
It's a chance to get out, be out in the outdoors. Mother Nature is around you all the time, especially around daylight when the world wakes up every day. You just see stuff you never, ever would see. You see sunrises you'd never, ever see. The catching fish is just extra. It's being out there. When I was young, we kept most everything and ate it. I don't think I've kept a fish for 10 years now. You know, it's about returning them, getting them back in alive, and hoping somebody else can catch them. But out of something, I wanted to go fishing this morning because it was a little warm out, but I'll get there.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming here instead. I appreciate it.
<You're welcome.
laughs> And I'll turn that same question to you, Brittany. Do you feel that magic?
Oh, sure. I mean, I grew up going to my dad's spots that he had fished his early years too. And it's just exciting having good food out there, staying warm, having the ice shack that my dad and I built together and fishing out of that, whether it's a pop-up shelter with a buddy heater in it. And it's not about catching the fish. I mean, it's a bonus when you have a flag and you catch a fish, of course. But Just being out there and spending time with your family and friends is really pretty important.
Well, let's talk about that, because you talked about how your family, Jack, went from pond to pond and took this as an adventure. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to explore. But other people have a shack that they go to the same shack throughout the season, right? So it kind of, which is more common?
It's real common that people put a shack out and they won't move it all winter. It's not so much about the spot. It's about the spot they've been fishing for 20 years. And the time they had there last year or the year before and what they caught in the hope that, oh, boy, if we can get another brook trout. Remember that time? And you always remember that time. And you don't get them every time you go out. But we have people come to the shop that, you know, venture and win a camp in the Allegash and go for a week at a time and suffer through weather like we've had, actually, the last couple of weeks and live in the snow. And I did that a lot when I was young. I wouldn't do it again now, but it's really an inexpensive adventure to go out on the ice and fish. It doesn't cost a lot of money to do.
Brittany, how good are the conditions right now? I'm going to guess they're pretty darn good.
They're pretty good. I've been out several times already this year. There is that layer of snow, slush, and then you'll break through, and there's a lot of snow now, but I think once this warmer spell hits us, it'll level out the lakes and it will hopefully refreeze. So it'll be a nice surface for us to get back out there in a week or so.
Okay. I'm guessing there are people listening who have kind of always wanted to try ice fishing but have never done it. Vern, what's some advice for a beginner?
The best advice is talk to your bait dealer. ask him where it's hot. Usually he knows, because people have been coming in and purchasing bait and letting them know. Don't try to do it all. Start out with, don't even think you have to go set your five traps. Start out small, learn to handle the elements, take care of your bait, learn your traps and all your equipment, whether you start out with a chisel or you go right out and buy an auger. The most important thing is to learn to be ice savvy, and cheap things like buying picks to wear and checking the ice before you go. There's no safe ice unless you've checked it.
Hmm. And, you know, we report this every year and the news, no safe ice unless you've checked it. How does one check ice? Again, this year is unusual. We've had this incredibly cold weather. But usually, how do you test the ice when you go out there?
Well, even a beginner probably starts out with a nice chisel, whether it's store-bought or homemade, which is usually fairly rugged, and the best way is to really chisel the ice in front of you as you walk. And if you can't break through the ice, you can walk on it.
Hmm.
If you can put that chisel through the ice, then you need to find a new route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us, Jack's traps. What is a trap, and how does it work?
Well, it's not really a trap. It's just it's what they've been called since I was a kid. They're called tip ups and tilts. And there's literally thousands of different designs that have been made over the last 100 years. Ice fishing's been around for ever. I mean, I've seen stuff that's hundreds of years old that was made to fish with. Nothing like we use today. They all do the same thing. And they got a line on them with a hook and a bait. And there's many ways to present that. And some people spend a little more money on equipment than others. But like Vern said, if you're going to get into it, you don't have to jump in and spend $500-$600. Just go with somebody. Go with somebody that you know that goes out and catches a few fish. And getting back to the ice conditions is learn to read the ice, to look at it, to know if there's weight on the ice and water on the ice. You can look, and if it's dark colored, that means there's water there somewhere, and there could be a drain hole somewhere. But you can learn so much being out there all day and not even catch a fish, just by walking around, cutting holes. There's always, lately, there's a lot of eagles around. So, you know, you might catch a yellow perch or a fish that you don't really want to, you know, that you might have heard him getting him off the hook or something. But you can, that eagle, you can draw him within 50, 75 feet to eat that fish. And how much would a person pay for that? You know, that's not even that's free included with ice fishing.
Well, Jack, I know that you're a little bit famous. I've seen you profiled on television. What makes a Jack trap special? How come people around the country are ordering your traps?
Well, I think it's because I was taught at a very young age. We used to get the traps out in December, right around Christmas. And my father, Phil Jackson, would always say, let's tickle the carburetors on the traps. That means tune them up, grease them up, make sure they're all working good, no knots in the line, new leaders, new hooks. Because sometimes you only get one chance a day. But, you know, we've been doing it a long time. The stuff that we make nowadays isn't what we made back in 1988 or even 78. But all our equipment's handmade. You know, it's made by, I have four guys that work for me. It's been a long road. It hasn't been easy, but it's very fulfilling to have customers come in that you had 30 years ago and bring something in that you made back then, and you look at it and you go, gee, that's in pretty good shape. You know, you guys must have taken care of that. And I mean, we run into it daily now at the shop. It's not all about making money. It's about living and living what you love.
Do you sell all your traps through the shop, or do you have retailers through at other places?
Oh, we have six or seven very good retailers. We have a website. Just we've been dealing with them down in Freeport for 26 years now. And we do, I won't say worldwide. We've shipped them across the ocean a few times. But we do a lot in the Midwest. But now that it's fishing season, we're starting to slow down a little bit. We'll concentrate on bait, which Vern supplies thousands and thousands and thousands of fish to us. You know, these guys spend nights on the lake. You imagine being out there last week, 30 below, the wind blowing, and getting bait through the ice in the dark. And Vern talks about ice like it's a floor, but these guys go out on 2 inches, 3 inches, because they're seasoned pros. They know what they're doing. But most people should have a chisel and walk and poke and walk and poke or follow a trail that's been made. You know, that gives you a little confidence. But it's something everybody should try if they like the outdoors. It's in the cold weather. Once you get out there, if you dress for it, they make clothes now that we didn't have when we were young. I mean, you just put layer after layer on. They make this skin thin stuff, and you can be comfortable at 30 below.
You promise.
I promise.
Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. I think some things in our culture, maybe the movie Grumpy Old Man, have contributed to a stereotype of what an ice fisherman is. Brittany, you don't fit that stereotype. Jack, you say that you grew up fishing with your four sisters, and so I want to turn to you, Vern. Who are your customers? Who's coming in to buy bait this time of year?
In this cold weather, it's been the hardcore, not going to miss opening day kind of people. With the department letting us fish, changing the rules to let us fish as soon as ice forms, we have a big clientele of the early brook trout fishermen. They're out there the day after Thanksgiving if we have ice. All people are from all walks of life. When there's a storm, the school teachers are in. On the weekends, we have anyone from our Winthrop Police Department to all the kids at school when they're on vacation.
So all ages. Do you see? You know, I know we've done programs on general fishing and on hunting. A real concern about a shift and fewer people having the time. Is that going on with ice fishing or not really?
I don't know. There are people that say that. I believe that I get 10 or 15 new customers every week.
Wow.
Not just from another bait shop, but first-time ice fishermen.
People who have been driving around the roads of Maine for ages and have seen the shacks and always wanted to try it and finally find their way in.
Plus, other ice fishermen, like Tim says, the best way to go is to go with somebody that's been before the first time. But at our shop, all our guys don't have time to fish as much as they like to. We loan our traps out to new guys. It helps promote Tim's business because we all are outfitted with Jack traps. People use one of Tim's traps and they want to go buy them.
Okay, so I want to ask you, Brittany, what do people catch? You mentioned brook trout early. The early fishermen are looking for brook trout. What are other people looking for?
When I go myself or with my family, personally, we're going for brook trout or brown trout. But, I mean, you can go fish for bass or pickerel or any of those warm water species, which is probably a great idea for someone that's new, too. Not saying that they're easier to catch, but, I mean, there's nothing wrong with catching those fish, too. They're just as fun and easier access probably for a lot of people as well.
Tim mentioned that he usually releases the fish that he catches. But I know a lot of people will catch them and cook them right there. That's part of the day, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. If you have a fry pan and salt and pepper and butter, cook it up. As long as it's followed by the body of water and the regulations that you can keep a brook trout or brown trout or salmon or whatever it may be, you can definitely.
Yeah. What's the fanciest shack you guys have ever seen? What's the best outfitted shack you've ever seen?
Mine.
I disagree. Mine.
Okay, so why don't you tell, let's wanna do some one-upsmanship here. What's so great about yours, Tim?
Well, mine has a wood stove. It has a sliding window in the door. It's got three vents. It's got two big holes in the floor. It's insulated. It's 65 in there. And I'm sure Brittany's is the same way.
It's pretty close. My dad, of course, growing up with fishing with him, he's built several shacks over the years, but all of them have smelt lines in them, mitten racks, the windows that go up and down, the fan from the ceiling, the offset with the grill and the heaters so you can cook over propane and the works. I mean, if you go out there every weekend, you want to have a nice setup.
Are you going to even try to top that, Ferd?
Not personally, but I have customers that have solar panels, TV, hot water. And, in fact, it's known that every Sunday afternoon in Marinacook, you can drive your sled out and watch NASCAR.
Okay, on that note, we are going to go to our first break. And when we come back from that break, we're going to hear from some of the people who've called in, including Ari, Kathleen, and Susie. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org, tweet @MainCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Maine Humanities Council. Exploring classic literature with Trollope's The Way We Live Now, March 9th and 10th at Bowdoin, mainehumanities.org.
From Hollywood to politics, men accused of sexual harassment are facing consequences, losing jobs. So what happens next?
Part of my fear is that we're getting rid of somebody, but then where do they go? That person becomes another workplace's problem, another person's problem.
Is there a path back for the accused? This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And join us for All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. Have you ever wanted to visit Iceland? It's a country rich in culture, but also of sharp contrasts, where dark winters are offset by the summer's midnight sun. If you have, consider joining Maine Public Travel next June from the 17th through the 23rd. Experience geothermal pools, breathtaking waterfalls, and even meet up with our own Jen Rooks, who will host a talk show from Roof, Iceland's public broadcasting organization. For more information, visit mainepublic.org and click on Education or call 1-877-479-7040. That number, 877-479-7040. Thanks.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, ice fishing. With me in our Augusta studio, Tim Jack, who is owner of Jack Traps Ice Fishing Outfitters in Monmouth. Fern Keith, who is owner of Cavasi Bait in Winthrop. And Brittany Humphrey, who is outreach coordinator for Maine's Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling. Or post to our Facebook page. We'll start with Ari calling from Booth Bay Harbor. Ari, thanks for holding and go ahead.
Hi, Hugh, long time listener, first time caller. I grew up in Maine, and my family has always gone out ice fishing every winter for as long as I can remember. But probably the memory that sticks out in my mind the most is when I was about 12, my dad took me out onto the lake with our shack. We didn't have a wood stove in that one. That would have been nice. But he got us all set up, drilled the holes, and put the traps in and everything. And he told me to sit still and keep an eye on the traps with the binoculars while he went back to our camp on land to get my younger brother and my mom. He said he wouldn't be gone more than like 5 minutes. So I'm sitting there peeking out the window, and no sooner had he rounded the corner and disappeared than a flag went up. So I'm 12 and I'm panicking, thinking, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, what am I going to do? So I bolt out of the ice house and I'm slipping and sliding, running across the ice. And I get to the trap. I pull it up carefully and I feel the line like I've seen my father do so many times before. And I feel there's a really heavy something, hopefully a fish, on the end. So I start slowly pulling it in and I give it a yank, hopefully to set the hook. And I'm pulling it in, and I can hear the sound of the snowmobile coming back across the ice with my mom and brother in tow. And my dad practically leaps off of the snowmobile while it's still running. And he runs over, and he's like, what have you got? What have you got? I said, I don't know. I don't know. And I pull it up, and it's about a 17-inch salmon that I landed all on my own. And this is the first fish that I've caught by myself. I had no idea what I was doing. And that weekend, there was actually a fishing derby going on. So we decided to keep the fish and enter it in a derby. It didn't win, not even close. But I just remember that that was such a fun weekend. And everybody was so proud because I landed that fish completely on my own. And it was just an amazing feeling. And we still ice fish to this day. My parents bought a house on the pond that we grew up on as kids and still set traps out there every weekend. And it's just a really great activity to get you outside and create those memories with. So I just wanted to share that.
Ari, thanks for calling and sharing that story. How fun. Thank you. We'll move along to Kathleen, who's calling from Barrington, to New Hampshire. Hi, Kathleen. Go ahead.
Hey. I just wanted to share my only ice fishing experience was 40 years ago with a friend from college who was from Warner, New Hampshire, and I wanted to kill myself. It was the most unpleasant experience of my life. But now, listening to your show, I think I might try it again. I think I was probably not dressed warmly enough.
And Tim's so nodding.
I was cold and aggravated and impatient. I used to go fishing with my father when I was a kid, and It didn't, there wasn't immediate gratification, so I was aggravated.
Well, Kathleen, I'm so glad you called, because I think we do need the voice of, maybe not everyone's cut out for ice fishing. Is that possible? Or maybe you need to have different friends. You guys are the experts. What do you think?
I think the biggest thing is when people get ready to go out and the weather's cold, your feet, if you got warm, dry feet, and long johns on and a scarf and something covering your head, all the heat goes out your head. That if you're comfortable, you have better thoughts of what's going on. If you're uncomfortable, the only thing you want to do is go get in the car, run the heater, and just hope the heck they don't catch anything right off and you're going home.
And if you're bored, I mean, my understanding is you take a Frisbee. You take you're nodding,
right.
A football.
Bring some snowshoes. Anything to keep the kids occupied and believe that it's fun and it's not just all about catching fish. It's about being outside and the experience altogether.
Kathleen, thanks so much for calling. We're going to move on to Kittery and Susie. Hi, Susie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Ice fishing was essential centuries ago, but no longer. It's better to fish for edible seaweeds, which have more nutrition and is renewable food for human beings. It is year 2018 and time to stop the use, abuse, and eating of fish and all animals and birds.
Okay. Well, Susie, thanks for calling with your perspective. I appreciate it. We'll move on from John in Eastport. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, dear. That was an amazing story there. Stop eating fish. Yeah, my first experience was years ago. It was back 1976. I was living in Colorado with a friend of mine from, we were both grew up in New Jersey. We were fishermen ever since we were little kids. We finally decided we were going to try ice fishing on this one reservoir that we had fished numerous times that summer. So we packed up the toboggan. My friend got him an ice auger and stuff. We put the cooler and all our gear on it, and we drug it out into the middle of this 9-square-mile reservoir. It was the middle of April, and it's still very cold at 10,000 feet, which is where we were. So anyway, where we get to the spot where we wanted to go, we're about probably 700 yards offshore. Take turns drilling the hole through the ice, and we get down through like 3 feet of ice, and no water comes up. So we like looked at one another, and was like, I think there's supposed to be water. And we looked down through the hole, and the water was about 25, 30 feet below the bottom of the ice. And we about crapped our pants, I'll tell you.
Somebody had let the water out.
The ice bridge. And if it ever collapses, we're in trouble. So we just scurried our little butts off of there and never went again.
Well, that'll teach you to fish a reservation, and I mean a reservoir in a state that you're not familiar with. How do you pick where you ought to fish?
Well, usually I think to be locally centered, you don't want to, people tend to in southern Maine are going to tend to go to the Windham, Bridgeton, to Sebago Lake area. We're in the middle of the Belgrade Lakes region. I mean, our region is really quite easy to get to, easy access to lakes. I guess that's the best thing to look for something with easy access.
And you're not going to have an experience like John's anywhere in Maine.
No.
No, but it sounds like they had fun until they didn't get any water.
That's a good story.
Thanks, John, so much for calling in with that. We'll go to Camden and Byrne. Hi, Byrne. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm in my 60s, and I moved up to Maine about 20 years ago. And I haven't ice fished since I was like 8. And I don't remember exactly what we did, but what kind of bait do you use? Is it live? Or can it be like dead minnows or artificials? And also, do you fish shallow under the ice or do you go deep? Do you look for pockets in the lakes?
Good questions. Stay on the line. Go ahead. Okay. Byrne, you start.
Well, when you're starting out, you probably want to fish a little bit of all the depths of the water. If you had two traps, you'd want to start out in the shallow and then try one a little deep. And sometimes when you're out deep, you just want to fish under the ice. As I said before, almost 99% of all your local bait shops, the guy dishing you out bait is going to know what type of bait to use for pretty much any type of pond in his area, and he'll give good information. He won't give bad information because he's going to want you to come back.
Okay, and it is live bait best always? Oh, you're shaking your head, Jack. Tim.
It depends. Some places you can't use live bait.
You need to know your rules. Some lakes are dead bait only. Some lakes are artificial. Even we have ice fishing ponds that are artificial lure only, and some of them are the best fishing. But, your local bait dealer will know where you can and cannot use live bait.
Okay. And you know what? This is a good time to bring up, Brittany. What kinds of rules and regulations should people know about before the first time? You need a fishing license, right?
Yes, you do. So in the State of Maine Fishing Law Book, which you can get at mainfishwildlife.com. Download a PDF version onto your smartphone so you'll have it at all times, or you can get it at a licensing agent. They'll also have the law books. But if you if you're planning to go out and go fishing, you do need a fishing license unless you're 15 or younger. You do not need a fishing license to fish in the state of Maine. And then it's just important to look up the body of water you're planning to go fish and see what rules and regulations do apply for that body of water and be knowledgeable of it before you go out.
Okay. And Vern, would you suggest that Vern just go visit a bait dealer before he even gets going and just say, where in my area, what do I want to buy? How do I get started?
If he doesn't have a friend or family member nearby that's ice fished before, to get set up in the area that he wants to go fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there clubs? Are there
I got an email from the University of Maine yesterday, the Black Bear Fishing Club. This club's everywhere. We get calls wanting for support and, you know, all the time. Some of these guys, I think, are just out ice fishing and want to start a club that day. And, you know, they'll send an email, would you support us? Or, but, oh, there's certainly clubs. And one thing we haven't talked too much about is the fishing derbies. That is... Well, you know, there's one in down our way, the Sebattis Derby, that's, I think, had over 2,500 people on the lake last year at one time fishing for, you know, big money prizes.
And those are a big scene, aren't they? I mean, there's all sorts of things going on.
Oh, my goodness. And most of it's
music?
All good.
Yeah, most of it's all good.
there's 900 cookouts going on at once. It's quite a day. I just usually get on my machine and just ride around and talk. You know, and how's it going? What are you doing? The greatest thing you see is when the younger people and the little kids catch something on their own, you know, mom and dad, let them check, do the trap by themselves, like that caller we had earlier. I bet she was darn proud when she caught that salmon at 12 years old by herself. That's something you never, ever forget.
Vern, thank you so much for your call. An email from Elizabeth is related to what we're talking about. She says, there are ponds designated as for kids only, 16 and under. That doesn't mean an adult can have a child with him. It's for, and this is in caps, kids only. The state stocks Lower Pond and Hinckley Park in South Portland so kids can experience fishing. Lately, adults are taking advantage and leaving with buckets of fish. The Upper Pond does allow all ages with a permit. But this we were talking about, Brittany, look up the rules for each body of water.
Correct, yes, because every body of water is different depending on how many fish you can take, or, like she said, the specialty ponds that are for kids only or people with a special license to fish there.
Are these specialty ponds throughout the state?
There is. There's probably about a dozen throughout the state that we stock and put brook trout in for kids to fish.
Okay. And I'm just going to read this. Dell on Facebook posted, not sure why you have to fish for ice. Is wild ice better than farm-raised ice in your own fridge? Is this part of the whole raw water craze? So there you go. There's some ice fishing humor. I'm sure you all have heard that one before.
Actually, I haven't. I don't think.
Oh, on that note, we're going to take our second break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Maine Audubon, a community of people who understand that when Maine's wildlife thrives, Maine thrives. Learn more at maineaudubon.org.
On the next Fresh Air, a car repair shop founded by a woman with Women Mechanics. Patrice Banks started it so women wouldn't feel ashamed when taking their cars for maintenance and repair.
The shame of not knowing how to take care of their car and being afraid to ask a question because they're going to feel stupid.
Banks is the author of An Auto Guide. Join us.
And you can join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. And join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for the Commonwealth Club of California. Today's speaker, Iranian-American author, public intellectual, and religious studies scholar Reza Aslan, discusses the influence of God in religions, cultures, and governments. That's the Commonwealth Club of California coming up after Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
Things to keep in mind, or that Becoming an Outdoors Woman program.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Vern Keith, owner of Cobbesee Bait in Winthrop, Brittany Humphrey with the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, and Tim Jack, owner of Jack Traps Ice Fishing Outfitters. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. We have an email from Robert. Please cover the topic of avoiding the introduction of invasive fish species into brook trout waters via bait fish when ice fishing. When I'm reading this email, I'm thinking this isn't just ice fishing, it's year-round, that this is a concern all over Maine, isn't it? That some people are not following the rules that are set out in the guidebook.
This is true. But if you visit your local bait shop, you know, you'll get bait that's legal, that's legally caught, that can be introduced back into waters. But it's a shame that this happens, but because the more people that get out there and fish, they don't read the law book. They you know, you're supposed to not dump any bait back into the lake ever. That's just, you don't do it. And you got to remember, you're always being watched. I hope that some of these people that have done that have got caught. I don't hear of it that often. But it's certainly become a problem in the last 20 years of introductory. To some species have been, even in our area in central Maine. But, you know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I think the Warden Service is the one that's really got to come down on that. And I think they do a good job doing it.
Vern, thoughts?
At our shop, I have people who take turns because they like waiting on customers. I educate my people who dish out bait to people that it's important to learn how to take care of bait and to not only when you tell somebody not to dump your bait back in the lake, they just paid money for it. We try to educate them to take their bait home if they don't want to dispose of it. How important it is not to put bait in that shouldn't be, because the department's done a great job with managing fish and putting fish in for us to take. And for people to use it right means that the tradition will carry on and that we won't have anything. But we make it a point to talk to everybody about taking care of the bait and what they should and shouldn't do.
We'll go to Lonnie calling from Gray. Hi, Lonnie. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to share some of my fonder memories as a kid. Would be like when you'd fish your local ponds and there would be old-timers out there that you looked up to, and they would maybe take you under their wing after they see you put in a few hard fishing days and say, you know, come on into my shack, and this is the way we cut our bait, and this is what we dip our bait in. And I mean, a lot of days back then were more like a day with a Maine humorist in a shack than you realize nowadays. And you can really, really appreciate it when the old boy has his cow on the lake and he opens his trunk and says, you know, look at this brown trout I caught. And I was using smelts and I was fishing this far under the ice. And with me, them are fond memories of the guys that, like, owned that pond. And that was his pond, and he was a great old fisherman. And have him take you under his wing a little bit and share a little bit of stuff with you.
Well, Lonnie, thanks for that memory. And that brings up something we want to talk about, Brittany. What do you want to think about when you take a kid out the first time?
Oh, sure. You want to make sure that they're warm, properly dressed, that you have some food, some snacks for them, that when they say they're done or they're bored, you're done for the day. Don't force them to stay out there the entire day. Take them out for a couple hours, take them out 7 to 10, 7 to noon, 9 to 2. Don't force them to be out there, just get them out there, give them a little taste of it, and make it fun and enjoyable so they'll want to go again.
And Lonnie, thanks so much for your call. Tim, you're involved in a big event to try to get more and more kids into ice fishing. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we've been holding the Kids Derby at Jack Traps now for 9 years. And just to give you an idea, the first year it was 20 below zero. The wind was blowing 60. All the paperwork, we get on the ice, blew down the ice. We had to run down again. Now, last year, it was foggy and warm, and we had almost 500 people on the ice, and over 300 of them were children. And the greatest thing about a young person catching a fish is after they've caught it, you look them in the eye and you just see the confidence build in them. You know, it's they've done something, they've done it on their own. They can see you're so proud of them. And you show them how to put the fish back into the lake, cut the line, don't try to take the hook out. And you don't stop talking about that fish until they catch another one. And I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 of those kids will want to go again, unless they have a bad experience. And I've seen a lot of that too, but we really like to get them out there and give them all a little prize, a little skimmer and a bait pail, and it's just a great thing. I've had customers coming back now that are in college, in game wardens. I think there's been 6 game wardens go through the shop. I don't see them much after that, but because they get shipped all over around the state. But take a kid fishing, you know, just take them fishing. It doesn't have to be through the ice. Buy them a little spinning pole and get them out there in the spring. Just once they learn to cast, that's half of it. Now, once they learn how to set a trap or put a hook in a bait and set the trap on their own, you know, now they feel like they're really involved. And whether it's fishing or anything, I think that's important to instill in a young person, that they to build confidence in them.
Well, Tim, I'm going to go to Pete now, calling from Oxford, because, Pete, I think you have a story, don't you, about taking a small one fishing?
Well, it's largely that only about 5 years. I'm 64 years old, and I only got to get around to ice fishing because a friend dragged me out about 5 years ago. And I went home and told my wife how much fun it was, and she was absolutely terrified that I was out there. But I did convince her to come with me because we caught a good mess of fish. And since that time, every year we buy more and better gear because she has really gotten into it. And I just I don't know if that happens with a lot of fellas who have a wife who wants to go ice fishing as badly as the fellas do. So just thought I'd share that.
Thanks, Pete. We're going to move on to Milton, New Hampshire, and let's see here. Let me see if I can get this right. And another Ari. Hi, Ari. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. I really like to hear that talking about taking the kids fishing. I've got 5 kids, and I've been fishing since I was a kid. My buddy Jerry and I used to go out on the lake and chop holes with an axe, and we've moved on to, you know, power augers. And for me, the biggest thing is what you catch. I mean, I hear a lot about catching and releasing, and I don't know. I get my van loaded up right now. We're going to be heading up to the smelt shacks up in Maine. There's a few companies up there that do you rent a shack for like a 6-hour tide, and you're on the brackish water, and you can catch quite a few smelt. I bring a little fry later with me and breading, and we fry them right up there and eat them right as we catch them. So that's something that I haven't heard people talking about yet is the smelt shacks up there. That there's like Jim's and Layton's. I like James Eddie up there is where I'm heading tomorrow, and we'll be going up, and I'm sure we'll catch something, you know.
Ari, I'm so glad you called because we also have an email asking, are there fishing shacks available for rent? How does somebody find out about where they might want to go and rent a fishing shack?
Well, they are down on the Kennebec River, and they're in Bodenham, and from what I hear, they're catching a lot of smelt. The ice is great. This couldn't have been a better setup for them this year. They really have a tough time, you know, with the tidal waters, but a lot of work goes into those shacks, and as far as eating your fish, I'm sure I've eaten more fish than most people, but it's the important thing about eating fish is eating them the day or the next day and not putting them in the freezer and, you know, like a trophy. And that's the big thing. But, yeah, I'll eat smelts with this fella anytime.
And does somebody have to, if you want to go to one of the places that Ari's talking about, to make a reservation ahead of time?
You do.
Yeah, so probably best thing is just to go to a search engine like Google and search fishing shacks, Kennebec River, and see what comes up.
Smelt fishing, smelt shacks.
Okay, there you go. Ari, thanks so much for calling. We'll go to Joan calling from Exeter, New Hampshire. Hi, Joan, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know one of my first experiences was out on the Squamscott River in Exeter, and we were fishing for smelt, and there are a lot of shacks around us, and these guys are from everywhere. So I'm sitting in this fishing shack, and I said to my boyfriend, you know, because you could hear the sound of the water moving and the cracks and this and that, and I said to him, well, what happens if, you know, you get one of those big cracks underneath your shack? What the heck happens? And as soon as I finished saying that, this big boom came across the river, and all of the guys in the shacks all around us just burst out laughing. And it was really frightening but exciting at the same time. And we still go out smelt fishing and enjoy it. And only one other thing that no one has talked about is if you do keep your smelt shack on the river that or waterways, you really need to tie them down somehow, because we have had shacks fly by us while we were on the ice.
You know, I've seen that, Joan. I've seen floating shacks. It's a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up. And nothing happened with the big boom and the ice crack, right? Just
no, not at all. You know, not at all. But it was just, you know, quite a sound. You know,
all
you're right.
Thank
when
you,
it's right under you.
Thanks, Fern. I know some people make a weekend trip out of ice fishing. If you're going to do that, tell us about planning for it.
Well, it's pretty exciting. Our family plans 2 years in advance. We have 12 adults, my 5 children, their spouses, and 13 children, grandchildren. And we plan the trip. And Brittany is absolutely right. If you plan properly for your children, you can almost assure that they're going to have a good time as far as clothing and having something for them to do to occupy them in between flags, because they'll enjoy just being outside. But the trip planning north, it doesn't have to be going north, but we happen to go north. And to go to a lake that's out of the way, that usually you have to snowmobile in, that doesn't get fished a lot, there's an excitement there of, like Tim said, being out with nature and seeing things that you normally wouldn't see in a populated lake. It's quite an exciting thing. And we specialize in preparing, and you want everything right, the bait and the clothing and the food. And it's a very exciting time. And that's not for a novice, unless the novice gets to go with an experienced person. But it is a big part of ice fishing, planning that weekend trip.
Do the traditional fishing camps, many of them, operate year-round and do ice fishing vacations for people who aren't as experienced and maybe want to have a great family experience?
Yeah, it's a lot of them specialize, and it's a good place for if a novice lived near one to get good advice on what bait to use, where to go, where the ice is good, where it's bad. Because we talked about ice safety. Even when there's 3 feet of ice, there are places in a lake that has 3 feet of ice that it's open water year-round. And somebody in the area will know these places. And it's usually where accidents happen. People get carefree. And when you talk to somebody and that knows a lake, then, I mean, the lakes around me, I know where there's open water year-round. And,
mm-hmm.
and so that's another good point we didn't bring up is it's important to ask somebody, have you been out on that lake before?
I don't know how many times that I've had a chance to, on a slow day, to go across and talk to somebody. And in 2 years, you're fishing with them, you know, because you go back to that same spot. Don't be afraid to ask questions, to go over and talk to somebody. Be nice. You know, the information you can get, you would never get out of 10 trips going alone or going with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. The people will give that information to you. They like to see you have a good time, too. And sometimes, you know, they'll give you some tips that really, really pay off for you.
Let me wrap up the program by asking about this year. Because it has been so, so cold for such a long stretch, does that change the fishing? Does that mean you're going to be targeting different areas of your favorite lakes?
I don't think so. I'd like to bring up, don't be fooled about this cold weather. We've had some very cold weather, but we've topped it off with some snow over that ice. And ice doesn't form for beans with snow on it. It just insulates it. That's why I get back to the color of the snow on the ice. Where it's darker, it's going to be wet, sloppy, hard going. That's where you wouldn't want to take your kids, even if the fish were biting over there. Ice is very safe. Doesn't take a lot. I'm sure everybody's watched the ice road truckers and all that business, but being safe. I had an experience one day up north, and I saw a whole family coming across on three snowmobiles, and I knew it was open water where they were headed. I didn't have a machine. There's no way I could, and they drove right into the lake, right into the lake. And that was a rough day. Nobody drowned, but it was just terrible. And you just have to know where you are and use common sense.
Well, that is a terrific final word of warning, because I think, as I did, many people assume that this really, really cold weather has made the ice safe in just about every spot, and that's not the case.
It probably is pretty darn good, but never, ever forget you're on ice.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here today. Who you just heard from is Tim Jack. He's the owner of Jack Traps Ice Fishing Outfitters based in Monmouth. You've probably seen him on TV. Brittany Humphrey is also here, outreach coordinator for Maine's Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, working with information and education. And Vern Keith, who is owner of Coppicey Bait in Winthrop. John Keimel ran the board today. We had additional help from Mal Leary and Steve Jaskela. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our audio archives at mainecalling.org. Today's program will be rebroadcast again tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, the story of a Maine veteran, his dog, and how they rescued each other. It's a new book. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.